Hello everyone, and thank you for joining today's webinar, Getting More from Your Data with Azure Data Catalog. Our presenter for today is Matthew Roche, Senior Program Manager at Microsoft. Before we begin, I'd like to cover a few housekeeping items. Today's presentation will run for about an hour. The webinar is being recorded and will be available on demand within 48 hours. A copy of today's presentation and a recording link will be sent to you via email once the files are available. If you have any questions during the webcast, please enter your question in the Q&A widget on the left of your screen and click Submit. We'll try and get through as many questions as we can during the live broadcast. With that, I'd like to turn the presentation over to Matthew.
All right, thank you very much, and good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone. My name is Matthew Roche. I'm a program manager on the Azure Data Catalog team here at Microsoft. And what I'd like to do for the next hour that we have together is essentially to introduce Azure Data Catalog as a service, walk through some of our capabilities, and give you an idea about how you and your organization and your team can get more value from the data and the data sources that you already have by using Azure Data Catalog. And I'd like to start off by asking sort of a broad question, and this question is, do these challenges look familiar? We've got maybe a half dozen or so slides that we will look at today, and my goal is to read as few of them as possible. But for this one, I'd like to essentially throw out the question, are the challenges that you face represented here, or do the things on this slide look familiar? When I talk to people, and these are, you know, both teams inside of Microsoft and people from large and small organizations around the world, I see a lot of different themes of challenges or types of challenges in people using data regardless of the technologies that they use. This is not a technology challenge. This is just a complexity challenge. As organizations grow, typically IT struggles to keep up, and the growth of data sources and the growth of technologies in general tends to be organic and not always consistently managed, especially if an organization grows through merger or acquisition, or you know, if a startup is transitioning to a more mature and larger company. Very often, making sure that all of the data sources are well documented and understood and discoverable, this isn't a priority until people need to get value out of the data that they have. So if I think about the common problems that I hear people tell me about, I hear people say that their users, their analysts, their data scientists, their report writers, their developers, these users spend more time trying to find the right data than they do actually working with the data once they found it. People tell me that for a given domain, you know, be it sales, HR, marketing, engineering, you know, whatever whatever it is, the data often exists in multiple silos, and there's a story behind each one. It's like, oh, well, we started using this system because we had this manager for a couple years, and this is the technology that he was familiar with. But when he left, someone else came in, and now we're using this other system for most things, except for these things that the old system works well or works better in. So this type of story you tend to hear again and again as well. There's lots of different places to look for data, and nobody knows the big picture. Nobody knows the entire story. And one of the questions that I will often ask is, when you joined your team, how did you learn what data sources would be valuable for you to do your job? You know, where do you look if you're, you know, doing an analysis on your team's performance, that sort of thing? And the most common answer that I've received is, well, when I joined the team, they gave me a list of places to look, and if I couldn't find what I needed, I just went and asked someone. A very organic, sort of an old school sneaker net detective work. And I'll then follow up with a question saying, well, when someone new joins your team, how do they know? And the most common response that I get back is, oh, well, they ask me. So what Azure Data Catalog is striving to do is to answer these questions, but in a more systemic, organized way, but at the same time enabling this organic crowdsourcing of knowledge to continue to thrive. What we see, again, in lots of conversations is that when IT puts in place a data directory or a data catalog, whatever term you use for it, if there's an IT-controlled place with the official view of how we think about the data or where the data finds, but only the information architects or only the small group of privileged people can contribute to it, very often the people who are using the data day to day, they don't get value from that. It's either they don't have access to it, they can't contribute to it, or it just doesn't describe the data in terms that are useful and meaningful to them. The people who are responsible for managing the systems and oversight of the data, they often think in a very different way than the people who work with the data at the intersection of the data and the business on a day-to-day basis. You know, it's kind of like if you're thinking about the person that designed the engine in your car, he might talk about the components of the engine in a very different way than you would use when you're driving the car on a day-to-day basis. So Azure Data Catalog, first and foremost, is designed to be an enterprise-wide catalog, this metadata repository that allows for self-service of data source discovery. We have a pattern that will allow users to, first of all, register data sources into the catalog. This active registration is not copying the data. It's not giving anyone access to the data. What it's doing is it's taking metadata about the data source. So, you know, first and foremost, the location of the data. You know, what server does it live on, or what's the URL for it, for the data source. So we've got this, the metadata, which includes the location, structural or schema level data. So what are the tables? What are their names? What are the columns? What are their names? What are the data types? This type of information. We'll copy this metadata into the catalog in Azure. We index it, we make it searchable, we make it browsable so that users can discover the data, that they can understand what they discover, and they can then work with the data. They can consume it in their tool of choice. And as we're building this, we're also making sure that the capabilities that we're building are available to our customers for use in their own solutions as well. So all of these capabilities that we're building are exposed and available through a public, open, documented, REST-based API at the same time. So the flow that we see here is really the primary flow through the data catalog experience. And I want to touch on each one of these four points in turn. So first and foremost, we are a data source discovery tool. The key challenge that we're working to address is making it easier for people to find the data sources that already exist. So it could be SQL Server, could be Oracle, could be reporting services, could be Hadoop, could be Salesforce, could be a wide variety of Microsoft or non-Microsoft, of on-prem or in the cloud, of structured or unstructured. We're as agnostic as possible about the type of the data because users need to find the data where it lives, and any meaningful organization, so any actual enterprise that's out there, has made investments in technologies and data sources for reasons that we assume are still valid. So there's no need to move or copy the data, simply a matter of registering it. Once it's been registered, it can be discovered, and then once it's been discovered, it can be understood. And the core part of our of understanding is essentially being able to validate, is this the right data for me, for my task at hand? Is this fit for purpose in the context of my current work? And the way that a user would use Data Catalog to make that discovery would be by examining the metadata that was extracted from the data source, or looking at metadata that was contributed by other users into the catalog. We also have the ability to to identify experts or stakeholders for the data sources. So it's possible that a valuable data asset or a data source inside the system may be annotated with all sorts of information. You know, it's been tagged, it's been documented, it's been categorized. But a lot of the content in the catalog, when we look at how the catalog is used in the real world, there's often a body of data sources that aren't these high-value crown jewel data sources. You know, it's not the system that everyone uses every day, where the level of annotation may not be super complete. For situations like that, or honestly for any situation, you can also identify these experts for the data sources so that if you find something and there's not a full set of information for understanding its purpose, its design, its intent, you can then reach out to the expert for that data source and essentially not need to track down who is the person do I go to ask questions. Well, this expert is identified right away. And by understanding this context about the data source, it's much easier to evaluate what you've discovered. And then once you've identified that a data source is valuable or appears to be valuable for your task, we then want to enable you to work with the data your way in the tools of your choice. So as we'll see, and this is the last slide before we jump into the demo, but essentially, when you discover a data source, there are ways that you can then jump into your tool. So we've integrated in with tools like Power BI, Report Manager, SQL Server Data Tools, and Excel, so that when you find a data source in the catalog, you can simply say, open in this tool, and it will essentially pass the connection information to that tool so that you can then connect from the tool that you choose to the data source. And one key thing to keep in mind here, as we mentioned when we were talking about registration, is that the data catalog does not give access to the data itself. So it's possible, it's probably even likely, that people will find a data source. They find a table, a view, a database, a report, whatever it is. They find a thing that they don't actually have permission to connect to. So the database owner or the data source owner who's responsible for securing that system, they have some policies and procedures in place to say these people can access it in this way, these people have these privileges, and if you're not on the white list, then you don't get in. What data catalog will do in this situation is it allows either the data source owner or someone else with this information to provide a way to access the existing policy or the existing procedure to get access to the data. We're never going to give access to data that you don't have permissions to see, but what we do want to do, what we do work to do, is to give users an easier way to gain access to the entry point into that process. So this is traditionally another barrier. You know, I don't know where it is. Well, now I know. I don't know how to get access to it. Oh, now I know how to get access to it. Now I can work with that data. And to sort of close this loop and to turn it from a, what's in it for me type scenario, to turn it into more of a virtuous cycle or a community of data, Data Catalog allows any user to contribute into the catalog in multiple ways. A user who finds a data asset can also go in and annotate that asset. So you can provide a description or a friendly name. You can tag it. You can provide experts for it. You can contribute to the documentation in the catalog. And the catalog essentially allows every user to have their own opinion. So when we look in the data catalog web portal, you can see, oh, well, there's these five tags, and these tags were provided by these users. So you can see who has contributed what perspectives. And in addition to this, any user by default can register new data sources into the catalog as well. So if you have permission to connect to a data source, Data Catalog will allow you to register that data source in the service, again, to make it discoverable. So very often today, without a tool like this, people will go through a process of data source discovery. So they send out emails, they knock on doors, they go through this longer detective process to find what exists and, you know, how is it structured, how is it used. But at the end of that process, the only thing that they do is solve their own short-term problems. So go, oh, I figured out how to work with the HR data. The next step for me is to work with it, but wouldn't it be great if these users could then take the things that they found, register them into the catalog, so that any user in the future could more easily discover it as well? This is where the catalog, or where the design of Azure Data Catalog is coming in as well. So beyond this core experience of discovery, understanding, consuming, and contributing, we also have capabilities for managing the contents of the catalog. One of the things that we've released in the last month or so is actually a data catalog business glossary that allows authorized users to define predefined business terms and hierarchies of terms that can then be used by the broader community of users to categorize and organize the contents of the catalog. This is sort of a complement to the open folksonomy of tagging. Now we have a structured approach to define terms that can then be assigned tag-like to the assets and data sources that have been registered in the catalog. And we also have, again, as mentioned earlier, we have a full REST API that will allow developers to extend and integrate our capabilities. One of the things that I would like to stress is that any of the capabilities that you see in our data catalog tools are implemented through our REST-based API. So if you see a capability in our registration tool, in our portal, all of these capabilities are done through the same API that you have access to as a data catalog user, as a data catalog customer. So I'm going to take a quick drink of water, and then we're going to switch over into a demo. What I'd like to do in the demo is essentially to walk through a fictional end-to-end scenario. We'll wait a second for my screen to appear on your screens, and then we'll introduce this scenario. So in this scenario, I'm working for AdventureWorks. It's one of our fictional companies. And I ran into Gus, my CEO, in the hall. So I was walking down the hall, and Gus came up, and he said, Matthew, we need I need your help. You know, you're an analyst, and I'm concerned that for our upcoming board meeting that I will get asked questions about potential Spock problems. And my, you know, my mind runs, and it's like Spock problems. And of course, being the wise guy that I am, I come back and say, sir, are we being too logical? Is the board concerned that we have too much logic in our decision makings? And of course, executives love questions like that. So I get the look, and he says, no. It's about span of control. So span of control, of course, is how many employees report to managers within a given part of the organizational structure. And this is one of the things that, as we're preparing for our quarterly review, or quarterly earnings report rather, we need to be able to report on this, because there's correlations between this and future growth and so on. So by the end of the day, Matthew, says the CEO, I need to have information on at least three managers, you know, three organization managers with very small spans of control, so that I can at least go to the board and present where we're going to be taking action. So I nod, I smile, I walk away, but there's a couple challenges here. The first one is, until Gus explained it to me, I didn't even know what span of control was. You know, I'm not an HR person. And I don't know where to find the data that he's talking about. So traditionally, this could be a problem, but I know that AdventureWorks has recently adopted Azure Data Catalog, so I am going to go to azuredatacatalog.com, and I'm going to see if I can find the data that Gus is looking for. So what we're looking at here on the screen is the Azure Data Catalog portal. So I can see that, you know, first and foremost, I've got a search box right up at the top. That looks great. I also see, I'll zoom in here really quickly. I also see that up in the corner, in addition to the Home tab that I'm on right now, there's a dedicated Discovery tab. There is a Glossary tab where I assume that there is a business glossary of terms and taxonomies. I see a Publish tab where I can go in and publish more data sources. And I see service settings and user settings as well. So this is all well and good. What I'd like to do, I'd like to come in and simply search on span of control. So this is the way that the business problem was presented to me. So being able to go in and search on a business term, I don't know the name of the server. If there is a server, I don't know what type of data source it is exactly. But I'm going to come in here and do a quick search, and we'll see what information is available inside the enterprise or inside the organization. So I also want to zoom in, come over here real quick, and point out that as part of our discovery experience, I can save and define searches. I can filter based on both glossary terms that have been defined inside our business glossary, tags that have been defined by other users or used by other users, and I can also filter based on more structural information, such as the type of data source or the type of object that's inside there. And let me do this. So I'm actually, let's see. I wonder if my browser has timed out since I had set this up beforehand. There we go. It was just waiting for me to complain about it. So I've searched on span of control, and I can see that of the however many objects there are registered in the catalog, I'm getting back about 72. Let's narrow this down a little bit before we start looking at the individual details. So I know that it's HR data that I'm looking at, and I see there is an HR tag. And because for the most part this looks like SQL Server data, I want to narrow it down to look just at views to start with, because as a general rule, tables tend to be more low-level storage, views tend to be more consumption-friendly, and I don't want to have to worry about a normalized database design or anything along those lines. So we will narrow it down so that we've got span of control as our search term, we've got tag as our we've got HR as our tag, and I will select view as my object type. So I've got my search defined here. This looks like a much more reasonable scope for me to start looking at additional information. So we've got here, let me look through. Yeah, so I see manager span. So this could be the case. We're looking at span information. So let me click on him. Let me click on this view, and I'll take a look at the data that's over here. So I can see that we've got Rick identified as an expert. We've got an HR tag and a test only tag. But as I come down here, take a look at this. It looks like in the connection information, this doesn't look like a production server. This looks more like somebody's dev box, and I guess that would explain the test only tag on it. So if we look in the catalog, I can see that there is another manager span view. Let me click on this one and see what other information we have. So view name is the same. Looks like Rick is our expert again. Here we've got an HR tag and a low-level tag, and we have, let me zoom in here super quickly, we've got different connection information. So I know just based on my past work that this is a production SQL Server. We've got it hosted in an Azure VM. So this is probably the HR data that I'm looking for. I also see that under request access, There is a link to our auto join tool. So AdventureWorks uses Forefront Identity Manager for self-service information management. So basically, I can click on this link to join the security group that I need to be in to access this database. So that is great to know. So this will allow me to get access to the data if I don't have access to it already. And if I click on this View Connection Strings button, I can also see that we have a set of predefined connection strings that I could just copy and paste into my code if I were building an application, you know, drop this in my web config file or, you know, whatever location there is. So I've got the full set of information here, but I still don't know if this is the right data for me. So I can see both with the buttons up on the top and with the tabs down here on the bottom, I can look to see more information about the structure and schema of the data source, of the view in this case. So I can see that a preview was included when this view was registered. So it looks like we've got two columns of numbers, which is not, you know, perhaps not the most useful view to have here. And I can look at the columns and see we've got the names and data types and the ability to add tags and descriptions at the column level. If this is a view, I would hate to see the underlying table. And I guess that this explains that low-level tag that we've looked at here. So let's make that go away for right now, and let's see what other views we might look at. Remember, I'm looking to find something that is useful for me to help me solve a specific problem. I'm not simply looking for the data for my own purpose. I'm trying to solve a very specific problem with it. So let us see. We've got manager org span counts, org span stats. That looks right. And this, notice it has a high level tag. So if I come over here, I can see that it's the production server, more information about when it was registered and by whom. But let's look at our preview. Hey, stop that. Clicking on the wrong thing here. I'll click on the preview. This looks much more useful. So notice that I've got information about what looks like the org owner, the span, the average span, and Goo, this is Gus, this is our CEO. Okay, so this may well be data that I can work with. Let me go from the preview and take a look at the columns. So here I can see that Stuart, who's one of our data stewards, he's annotated at least the personnel number column, saying this is useful for joining to the all positions view. Well, that is good to know, I guess. But for right now, what I want to do is I actually want to see what the data itself looks like. I've got a preview here, but I want to work with the data. I actually want to poke around in it and see if this is going to give me what I need. So I'm going to say open in Excel, and let's see. It looks like my here we go. My screen sharing tool is blocking this off at the bottom. When we open in a client tool, our standard pattern for a tool that's running on your client workstation, such as Excel and Power BI Desktop, is we will, on the server, we'll programmatically construct a file that is associated with, or by default is associated with, that client tool. For Excel, that's an ODC, or data connection file. So I will choose open. I'll choose enable to that that standard security warning about external connections. And I will say I'm going to open that in my worksheet. And I know my username and password to connect. So what I've done so far is I've essentially connected to the I've connected to the underlying table from Excel on my machine to the server wherever it happens to live, and I've done this having been enabled by the information and the capabilities in the catalog. But now I can work with it in whatever tool I want. And the thing that I want to do basically is to see, does the data that Gus has asked for, does this exist inside this data source? What can I do with it? So the first thing that I want to do is I want to say, let me only look at organizations that are of a meaningful size. So, you know, saying that one manager, you know, somebody with two people reporting to them, that's a real problem, that's probably not the best way to look at it. I want to look at larger organizations where, you know, there's a director or perhaps something at that level where there's at least 100 people inside that org. And then I want to see what the smallest average span is for those orgs. So I will come here and I will sort on smallest to largest. We'll zoom in a little bit here. This looks interesting for the problem that I'm trying to solve. So notice that we've got three different director level type people. So people with organizations over 100 employees in size, and they've got an average org span that is under 4. So on average, managers in their org have fewer than 4 reports, and perhaps it's not super statistical, right? We got 4 and 4.1, and these are only 3.8 and 3.9, but realistically, I've been given a task to do analysis on the same day. This will give me a good starting point to move forward with. But I need to be sure as well, I don't recognize these aliases. So I recognized Gus's because he's the CEO, but I don't recognize these specific aliases I don't know who the people are. I don't know where they are in the org. So I might want to go through and find out who these people are before I give their names to Gus as a potential problem. So let me come back into the data catalog portal. Remember here in my columns view, for the personnel number tag, we've got this information about joining it to the all positions view. Let me actually search for all positions. We'll get information about that view. Maybe it has information about where that data lives or where there's additional data. So there we go. We'll search for all positions. All right. And so notice this guy. So I'm starting to clue in on the tags that people have used in the catalog. So notice that this one has that test only tag as well. And if I scroll down, I can see that this is also on that dev box, like the non-production machine. So it's nice that it's in the catalog. It's nice that I can discover it. And I can see that the only other thing that's coming back is as manager org span stats view. And the reason that it's coming back is because of this description that Stuart, the data steward, had added. So what can I do? So the obvious thing is I need to work with the actual all positions. And odds are it's in the same database on that same server. Now, without data catalog, I might be blocked here. Or at least I might have to go out and do the legwork on my own. But I know that. Let me do this guy. Let's scroll down here. I know where the server lives. I know where the database is. And I know how to get access to it. And as we saw in the last bit of the demo, I have access to it already. So let me connect to that database and see if it has an all positions view already. So I'm going to spin up SQL Server Management Studio here. I've got my connection information pre-cached, how convenient that is. And I'll wait for that to connect for a second. We'll expand out databases. There is head tracks. Let's come into views. And there is an all positions view. So we've got the information that we need. Now, I can move forward with my analysis, but before I do so, I actually want to register this into the catalog to make sure that whoever is coming along next, that they can discover it as well. So back in the portal, I can come here to the Publish tab. So I can either launch the data source registration tool, the application that will connect to the data source and extract out that metadata, or I could create a manual entry where essentially we're just putting in metadata about the data sources without extracting metadata from the source. We're just manually typing it in. I want to go into the tool. which is what we're looking at right here. So I noticed that one of the questions, and we'll do Q&A in a consolidated form towards the end of the call, one of the questions that came in was basically asking, do you have support for SAP data sources? We support SAP HANA today. SAP BW support is on the way, so we're actively working on it. Should be here before too long, although we do not yet have firm dates to share. We know that it's a priority for a lot of customers. But basically, in the data source tool, you can register SQL Server via on-prem in a VM, Azure SQL DB, Azure SQL DW, analysis services, reporting services, Oracle database, Teradata, MySQL, Azure Blob, and Azure Data Lake Store, as well as HDFS and Hive, be they on-prem or running in the cloud. So we've got a set of data sources that you can register from directly from within the tool, additional data sources that are already supported for both programmatic registration using the API and for manual registration. But what we want right now is we want to come in and register that all positions database. So we are going to use, we're going to use the connection information that we used earlier, and we're going to specify our information. We'll come in here and we will say all positions. We will add it to our list. I'm going to say let's include a preview and a data profile because this will make it more useful. I will identify myself as an ex. No, I won't. Let me add Stuart. That's right. This way people will ask Stuart questions. He's more likely to be able to answer them. And we will tag it as well. Let's say HR and high level, because these are, you know, it's aligning with the tags that we saw used elsewhere. And when I choose register, the data source registration tool, this client tool that I'm using, is essentially going out, connecting using the credentials that I supplied to connect to the database to get information about the metadata, so column names, data types, things along those lines. It's doing a select top 20 to get a snapshot of the data in there for a preview because I have specified this, and it's collecting a data profile with column level and table level metrics about the object or objects that I've selected, and then it's taking that information and pushing it up to the data catalog in the cloud, which I had connected to earlier. You know, there's only so many logons that I can expect you guys to watch that I had connected to earlier before the demo began. Now, when I come back into the data catalog portal, and if I come back into the Discover experience, when I search for all positions, notice that here we now have, in addition to the previous version, that dev version that we looked at with the test-only tag on it, we now have the real production all positions view registered and ready to go. And now that I have done my bit for the community, so now that I have registered this so that others can discover it, I actually want to go through and join, as Stuart's annotation suggested, to join manager org span stats together with all positions to get the full, no pun intended, view of the data. So what I've actually done here in preparation for the demo is I've put together a quick select statement that will take these two views that I have discovered using Data Catalog, join them together on the field that Data Catalog and the crowdsource metadata that it contains let me know that I could use. I will apply filters based on my understanding of the analysis and my initial exploration of the data, and I'll order it to show the worst offenders at the top. Let me run this real quick, and as you can see here, I am now seeing the information coming from both of these tables. Some of this we saw in Excel earlier, but now we have the full information about the employees or the managers that these aliases and numbers represent. And I guess the key thing that I want to zoom in on here is their titles inside the organization. So we've got someone who is a director of test, someone who is a director of development, and a GM who is at the director level on the business side. So basically, from a political perspective, me handing this list off to Gus is going to offend everyone equally. And honestly, what I think is awesome here for this end-to-end in Azure Data Catalog, in about 15 minutes, not only was I able to solve my problem and my CEO's problem, I was also able to create new problems for three other people, all very efficiently, in a way that I would not have otherwise been able to do. So once the meeting is done, I'll forward this information on to Gus, and he can then proceed with his analysis. So when I switch back to the slides, I want to focus a little bit on some of the ways that Data Catalog is different from both tools that have come before it and some of the other data source and data discovery tools that we see out there on the market. From the first differentiator, the first aspect, is that we've got to focus not on finding specific values. So if you were, for example, going to say, you know, show me all of the tables and all of the systems across the organization where customer number 1234 appeared in the data, this may not be the best or the cleanest tool for that particular solution. We can certainly play a part of it, but our goal is to make it as simple as possible for people to find the data where it lives by registering metadata, by registering statistical information, by registering or by enabling any user to provide their own perspective and their own understanding of the data. We're also focused on being as data source agnostic as possible. So you saw the list of data sources in our registration tool. We've got additional sources like HTTP, data feeds, Salesforce, and so on that can be manually registered during the portal. We're not focused on just structured. We're not focused on just Microsoft. We're not just focused on on-prem or the cloud. Our goal is to have it so that regardless of where your data lives, Azure Data Catalog can help you discover it, understand it, and get more value from it. We also have a tool-agnostic approach as well. So here we have, we saw in the demo, opening a specific table or a specific view in Excel. So we've got direct integration in with a set of tools, and that set is growing over time. We also allow you, through the connection information that we're displaying inside the portal, we give you all of the information that you would need to connect to a data source that you find using any tool, be it Microsoft, third party, whatever tool you want to use. The tool that does what you need is the right tool for you. So if you've chosen some self-service BI tool that doesn't come from Microsoft, but it's awesome for your analyst needs or for your business users' needs, this is a great way to make sure that, or it's a great way to enable the users of those tools to find and work with what they need. And finally, we have an approach on enabling users to share their knowledge and their perspective. Any user who finds an object in the database, they can tag it. They can annotate at the column level or the table level. They can contribute to documentation. They can do, they are enabled and encouraged to provide their perspective on the data and its use rather than locking it down to some select few. The final slide before we go into Q&A is sort of a foreshadowing about our programmability and programmatic access. So as mentioned earlier on, all of the capabilities that we build for Azure Data Catalog are built using a public, open, documented API that all of our customers have access to. So if you have a catalog, that means that you have a platform that you can work to do things like automating registration. If you have An ETL process, as an example, this is something that I've seen a couple times come up in conversations recently. You have an ETL process or a data lake population process where data is flowing through some pipeline, and you want to ensure that the catalog is always up to date with current information about what's in your data lake or what, you know, how many records were in the last data warehouse load. Things along those lines, you can very easily use the API to either register new things as they're being created or update the annotations and metadata about the entries that are already in the catalog if you're, you know, keeping them up to date with current statistics or current metrics. A lot of customers, a lot of businesses have existing ad hoc catalogs that have been created. You know, it's very common for a team. It's like, oh, we've got this project. Let's create this OneNote notebook or this SharePoint list or this Excel file, and we'll track information about the data sources for the project. So basically, this means that in addition to the silos of data that already exist, for the best of reasons, people are creating silos of metadata about the silos of data. With that information that already exists, using our API, it is relatively straightforward to pull the information out of that existing source, you know, using whatever API that source supports, and then register it in the catalog so that redundant entry or duplicate entry is minimized. So I also want to do a little bit of foreshadowing to say that in, I believe it's 3 weeks, but at some point in June, we'll be doing a webcast dedicated to the Azure Data Catalog API. So the final thing that I want to do is to cover some of the Q&A questions that have come in during the call. I also want to point out that in the follow-up email that you'll be receiving after the session is done, in that follow-up email, there will be links to online resources. The links that were on that previous slide about learning more about the programmability, those will be in there, as well as a link to our forum on the MSDN forums platform. If you do have any follow-up questions for me or for the team that don't get addressed during the call, taking them to the forums is a great way to engage with the team. We'd love to hear your questions. So I'm actually going to start from the bottom and work my way up. Tom had asked about SAP data sources, the answer, as we covered briefly during the demo, is that yes, we support SAP HANA today, and yes, we are working on SAP BW moving forward. Ben has asked, if I have an open data solution, can I leverage Azure Data Catalog to tag all my data so the users can find them? I guess the short answer is yes, you can register. And when I hear open data, I'm thinking of like government open data type solutions. It's possible to register using our manual entry capability to register an HTTP report or an HTTP page or an HTTP data feed. So you can register those in the catalog. And like any other data asset, they can be annotated and tagged, searchable and discoverable as well. I'm going to move to David's question, with is the preview stored in the catalog repository? So the answer here is yes. When we are getting a preview from a data source, the mechanism that we use to extract it will vary from data source to data source. If it's a relational database, we're doing a select top 20. If it is a big data store, we're doing a sample 20 or something along those lines. So the maximum number of records that you will see in a preview is 20. If the object is particularly wide, so if there's lots of columns or a very large data type, we will also truncate for size. So if you have a column, or if you have a view rather with hundreds of columns, you may only see one or two or three records in that data source. But the key thing is that we are gathering that during registration and storing it as a snapshot. It's basically stored as a blob in the catalog. It is not indexed, so we will not, if you're searching, we will not hit on a term that appears only in the preview. So let us move on here. Here we go. So this is a question from Thomas. It seems the catalog only works for work accounts. So I'd like to use it to document a largest SQL data warehouse that lives in a subscription. How/when can I? So one of our broad goals, and we've covered this in a couple different ways, but I want to stress this guy again. The point of Azure Data Catalog is to make it easy for people inside an organization to discover data that already exists. So find your data source and work with it, and to have a scope for collaboration and community. In this context, we rely on Azure Active Directory, you know, what is often referred to as the work account or work or school account, for our authentication. And we have a design that has a single catalog per organization. So essentially, the way that you would approach this solution, Thomas, would be to have, regardless of where the data lives, the credentials that you use to connect to the data source, in this case the data warehouse, don't need to be the same credentials that you use to connect to the catalog itself. So if you have a data warehouse that lives in a subscription, that's great. There is a set of credentials, username and password, or Windows credentials that you use to connect to that data warehouse. When you create Azure Data Catalog, you'll log in using your Azure Active Directory credentials, you know, your work or school account. That's what you use to connect to the service, but you can connect to the data source using whatever the using whatever credentials the data source supports and still register it into the catalog. And there is one of our MVPs, Melissa Coates, a few weeks ago put out an awesome blog post on setting up Azure Data Catalog in a dev or test environment. Basically, what do you need to go through to have an environment that you can kick the tires in rather than having it being a production environment? So if you search for that online, you should be able to find that. And of course, the MSDN forums are a great place for follow-up questions there. Next question for Tom, is there integration with Azure Machine Learning to allow me to drag and drop a source into the AML palette? Integration with both Azure Machine Learning and other Cortana intelligence services and tools is on the way. That integration is not yet available, but our goal is to have as much integration as possible or as logical with as broad a set of tools as possible. David asked, are there automated features to update and or report changes in supported data sources? Again, this is a capability that we have on our roadmap. Today, the way to ensure that the snapshot of metadata in the catalog remains in sync with the actual data source, wherever that data source lives, is to rerun the data source registration tools. It's not the automated feature that you're looking for. We are working on capabilities for automation, but if that's something that you need today, it is accessible using our REST API, although we do realize that the effort to build a programmatic solution on your own is higher than simply using a tool that we have provided. We have a question coming in from David again. Can tags be set up in predefined lists in selections for dropdowns for consistency? In this context, so the short answer is yes. This is what the business glossary that I mentioned earlier is designed for. And given where we are, we've got less than 5 minutes left on our schedule. I am not going to jump back into the portal to demonstrate that, but let me simply mention verbally that the business glossary is available in the standard edition of Azure Data Catalog, and it is designed to allow authorized users to set up those predefined lists and then other users can select them and assign them. And essentially, when you start typing in the name for a tag, if there are matches in the glossary, we will auto-suggest them so that it's easy to select them for consistency. One of the follow-up links, or one of the links that you will get in the follow-up email that will follow this session, is a link to our documentation center on Azure. Part of that documentation center is guidance on how to set up and use the business glossary. And we've got one more question coming in here as well. Do we support data detection, such as identifying the security classification or other aspects of the data? This is one of the longer-term scenarios that we are working on. It sort of fits into the broader management scheme of things. That detection of data or the classification and rules for the governance of the data is not yet in place, but it is definitely something that we're looking at. We're interested in as much information as possible about the problems that you're trying to solve. We'll use that to feed into those features. So it looks like we are caught up on the questions that have come in via Q&A. So I'm going to hand this back over to Rahi to wrap things up. And I'd like to say thank you to everyone who's participated.
Thanks, Matthew, for the great presentation.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, and so just a reminder, the follow-up session to this one on the Azure Data Catalog API will be on June 14th, and we'll be sending out the registration link for that in the follow-up email as well. And so hopefully everyone has had a chance to enter feedback on the poll questions. Your feedback on these webinars helps us make them more effective, so we really appreciate that. And lastly, as a reminder, we'll be sending out the slides and the recording of the session shortly once they're available. And so thank you everyone for joining us, and have a great day.